Well, we're going to speak on philosophy tonight, and with that, I'm feeling, Doc, I don't know what's wrong, I'm feeling a little nervous. And then I remembered I shouldn't because I didn't wear my toga, so that would have been really bad for everybody, I'm pretty sure. But so anyway, tonight, talking about philosophy, and first of all, you may be asking the question, which I believe that's Aristotle right there. The question of the whole thing of who needs it. So I know philosophy is one of those things that you might take if you went to college because you had to. And I think Brother Mark asked me if I was speaking tonight. And I said, I think, therefore I am. So, yeah. But anyway, I managed to gather some quotes from philosophy. If you could start that next part there, just a little bit. See if that video plays for you. There you go, yeah. No sound, I guess. Did it not work? Well, oh, there we go. Just let it run. There you go. There you go. Some philosophical quotes. Yeah. I'm the wisest man alive, for I know one thing. That is that I know nothing. Okay, I got that one. All right, I can identify with that. I think, therefore, I am. Descartes, there we go. Very good. Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking and being. Anyway, one cannot step in the same river twice. Why not? Anyway, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, does it make a sound? Care about that. The better question, though, is this one. Yes, much better question. If a man says something and a woman isn't there to hear it, is he still wrong? That's a much better question. Much better philosophical question there. And then this one. Before you criticize someone, you should walk a mile in their shoes. Why? Well, because that way, when you criticize them, you're a mile away and you have their shoes. So. And finally, yeah, I don't think that was a Christian philosopher came up with that. When you're arguing with a fool, make sure that he isn't doing the same thing. So, yeah. So what a philosophy, anyway, a serious side, though, the question is philosophy bad? And actually, doesn't the Bible say so? And in fact, we find Colossians 2:8 says this, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So the question is, what is philosophy? Okay, the Greek word philosophia means a love of wisdom. And if you go and look up, like I did a little bit, refreshing myself from college, look up some definitions for philosophy, you will read some long, drawn-out ones, you know, and stuff. I'm like, we don't need that. And there's, like, so many branches of philosophy, you know. There's even, if you went to business school, there's a philosophy of business. There's a philosophy of science. I don't know if they had a philosophy of medicine class or not. I don't know. But anyway, they've got all these things of philosophy. Probably a less complicated, and actually at least one of the authors of the book, Questions That Matter, which is a book on philosophy, he's a Christian. And he says, basically, it's the attempt to think rationally and critically about the most important questions. Well, now, that can't be a bad thing. So what is Paul talking about? Well, Paul is warning them not to be spoiled. That word actually means to be taken captive, to be almost become the loot of someone that raids a place. It's that kind of idea through bad philosophy. There's a definite article in the Greek before the word, and it shows that he's talking about the philosophy that is right there, okay? So in these verses, he actually points out some bad things, some things about this philosophy in Colossians 2:8. He says that it's after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And that's worth looking at. So it's after the tradition of men, and this means that it's built on man's tradition and thought. And one of the things that happened all throughout history, but especially if you go back and study the Enlightenment, is where humanism really kind of gets going. Now, actually, humanism started in the Garden of Eden. But humanism, its main thing was this: man is the measure. That was the slogan of humanism and the Enlightenment. And the whole idea was that we don't need this superstitious stuff, this religion anymore. We are so smart and we can figure out everything on our, by ourselves with science and all these things. We can do that ourselves. We don't need this God stuff anymore. And so they learned and kept God out, which messes up your learning, and they added to it. And so what today is we have traditions that are based on what man thinks. You may not know who David Hume is or Immanuel Kant, but I can guarantee he's influencing what you're seeing on television, and they are influencing the way science thinks, and all of those things, that is because of them. All right? There's a lot that came from them. You may not know them, but what they came about with reaches to today. The skepticism, the doubt, the things that we took to be just absolute truth. No, there's not such a thing as that anymore. That type of thinking comes all the way back from there. That's man's tradition and thought, and Paul says don't be spoiled by that, and he means ruined or taken captive by that kind of thing. He also says after the rudiments of the world, and this is Paul just slamming on it, because rudiments has this idea of characterizing the world's wisdom as base or childish. What he's saying is, look, if you're leaving what God teaches to follow what the world teaches without God, you're not taking a step up. You're taking a step down. It's the rudiments. It's like you're going back to studying childish, imaginary fables when you go and study the world's thinking as far as without God, when you base your thinking on that. Don't be spoiled by that. And last of all, not after Christ. It's against Christ and His Word. Don't go after philosophy. So philosophy is not a bad thing. There are great Christian philosophers out there. There really are. And they debate and do things against atheists and others, and really neat. However, he's saying this philosophy here, beware, because it will take you captive. He's warning them about this whole thing. So one of the biggest questions in philosophy is this. What is truth? Now, Aristotle's there kind of, I've got him asking that. I made him ask that. But anyway. But does anybody know who else asked that in the Bible? Who asked that? Pontius Pilate did. He did indeed. Yeah, Pilate therefore said to him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Now, people have always wondered, like, did he say, what is truth? I don't think so. Now, it's hard to tell from the grammar. You can't really tell. Okay, it's going to read the same way. But notice what he does afterwards. He doesn't hang around. He says, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews. He didn't even wait for an answer. So more than likely, he was like a lot of the Romans, very skeptical, and just going, what is truth? You know, all I know is power. That's what I know. That's probably what he could have added to that. And so he asked that question. But now Jesus could have told him, because Jesus in a prayer earlier had included that. He prayed, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He's speaking of his disciples, and later on he'll be speaking of us as well. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them, set them apart, make them what you want to be. How? Through philosophy? No. Through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So he could have told Pilate if he stuck around. But now, wait a minute. Here's a question that maybe some of you are asking. That's very good, Brother Chris. I get that. That's all right. But can I learn true scientific principles from the Bible? Well, you know, I mean, there's true scientific stuff in the Bible. But no, if I want to learn the laws of physics and everything else, I probably can't learn all that from the Bible. Okay? Can I teach algebra, which I'm going to do this year, from the scriptures? I can't find it. Can't find it in there. You know, those kids are going to have to break open more than the Bible to pass that test, all right? You know, it's good that they read their Bible. That's good. But they also need to study their algebra book, okay? Dr. Jonathan, could I only study the Bible and get through medical school? Does that work?
Probably not.
Now, it certainly would help, wouldn't it? Yes, but probably not. So, what do we do about this? Well, the deal is that truth is revealed to us by God, but it's in two different ways. There's what's called special revelation, and there's general revelation. Now, special isn't special indeed. In fact, it's the Bible. Okay? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it, by the way, not just the spiritual parts. What does that even mean? It's all true. If it's in the Bible, it's true. Okay? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for a correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible is our special revelation. That is awesome. And it's the only inspired book there is in this world. That's it. If we want ultimate truth, it's in the Bible. Spoken by God himself. There's no other book like that. There's no person like this walking the planet that can tell you stuff that the Bible can tell you. It is special revelation. But there is more than that. There's a thing called general revelation, and the Bible tells us about it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. He's mad at them. Who hold or suppress the truth in righteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For this is beautiful. Not only is this the word of God, it's beautiful writing right here. There's a contrast. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Though God is invisible, his attributes and things about him are clearly seen, being understood by or through the things which are made. That's everything around us. Even his eternal power and Godhead, that means his attributes, so that these people that are saying there's no God and suppressing that, they are without excuse. If anybody says there's not enough evidence that there's a God, God says, you're wrong. You don't want to believe. Because there is. And it's found in what's called general revelation, which is all around us. Psalms 19:1 says this, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. And so this is what general revelation is. It's the knowledge that we get from the world, not the world system, but the world that God created. And it's actually, if you've got kids that are going to school, they are studying God's revelation, not in Bible class alone, but in every other class they are. Thomas Aquinas said this, all truth is God's truth. Now, he didn't mean that everything man says is true. God's not going to claim that, okay, because man says some silly things. But if it is true, it's God's truth. And what he means is this. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven, and that means the universe and the earth, everything. So he made it all. Colossians 1:17 says, and he, Jesus, is before all things, and by him all things consist. That means they're held together. And so he made it all, and he still holds it all in existence. Okay, so God created all things, and each moment holds them in existence. He knows them better than anybody does. Okay? He is the basis of all true knowledge. He's the basis of it. Anything we truly know about, not that we think we do, but if we really know the truth about anything, math, history, science, the world, the universe, it all comes from him. Why? Because he made it all. And this is really what's supposed to happen, is that man, if he was not sinful, would study science and say, praise the Lord, how awesome. Would study the human body and say, how wonderfully it is made. Not say it evolved. That's ridiculous. He would study math and say, there's a beauty to this. And some of you are going, gag. But really, there is a beauty to this. God made that. Every single bit of it, God is responsible for. He made it all. It's all about him. And this is what's called general revelation. Now, from this then, we may look and say, so how do these mix? Well, many times people and philosophers will discuss this and say faith versus reason. There doesn't need to be a verses about this. I would say special revelation and general revelation. There are things that come from special revelation that come from nowhere else, such as I cannot go, as some people think maybe you could, and go and look at a snowflake or look at a tree or go in the forest and tell them how to be saved. No. There is one place and one alone that you can find out how to be saved. It's from God's Word. If you truly found it from somewhere else, it's because it was based on God's Word. It was a preacher preaching God's Word. It was a song about God's Word. It was from God's Word. But that's the only place you can find out how to be saved is from God's Word. And there are other things like that that nothing in this world can tell you about unless they get it from God's Word. Now, there are some things that are revealed in both, such as the Bible says God exists, and if you don't believe that, it says you're a fool. Okay, but also, as we can look, and there are proofs of God that are out there as well. Now, they tell us limited things, but they're still there. All right, the Bible speaks about some scientific things. It speaks about historical things. It's not a history book. It's not a science book, but whatever it does speak about, it's right. So, whatever. But if I want to learn more about those things, then I can go and study those things in other areas and find the truth. It speaks about both. And there's some things that only come from general revelation. As I said, you know, you couldn't go through medical school with just your Bible. All right? Well, there's not a problem because all of this comes from God. Now, here's the understanding. These will never contradict. Never. If science supposedly goes against the Bible, it's not science. It's man's thought. True science will agree with the Bible. If philosophy goes against the Bible, it's wrong thinking. I don't care who's doing it, because God's word is true. If something in history supposedly disproves the Bible, it's wrong. Just wait. If you want to see something funny or read something funny, read about archaeologists that have said they were going to go out and prove that something in the Bible didn't exist. God has particular fun with them. So later on, and usually after their death, it's found out they were wrong. And so, yeah, so these will never contradict. You know what? This is not my notes, but this gives me, I love this. This is the fact that as a Christian, I never need to be afraid of what science is going to tell me. See, there's Christians that live like that. Why? God created it all. It's not going to disagree. If they come out with something against the Bible, just wait. They're going to be found wrong. You know how many times evolution has changed its story? Do you know? Go back and read it. Used to, things just spontaneously popped out of meat. They couldn't figure out what the missing links was, so they decided there was something called punctuated equilibrium. So things just drastically changed all of a sudden. That's why we can't find them. Just read your Bible. It explains it. Yeah. So I don't need to be afraid of that. I don't need to be afraid of anything out there in the world of information they have, because it will either agree with God's word, or if it disagrees, it's wrong. And that's the way it is, okay? So, however, our interpretation can be flawed, as many have had. Now, here are some fundamental logical truths. They're like, oh my goodness, it's school time, what is that? All right, well, I'll just tell you what this is. Even if you've never heard of these, you use them every day. Because if you don't, people will wonder about you. Okay, so these are basically some laws of logic, and they're in philosophy. We know these are true, and the reason is because you have to use them even if you want to say they're not true. All right? A does not equal not A. All that means is something cannot be true and not true at the same time. I can't be here and not be here at the same time. Now, you may say, Brother Chris, you're not all here. But that's not what we're talking about. We're saying that I can't be here and not here at the same time. That makes sense, right? Something can't be true and not true at the same time. Something is what it is. That's the middle one. Yeah, it just is what it is. Okay, that's the way it is. All right, and the third one says this. I'm either here or not here, but there's no in between. If you've got half of me, I'm dead. That's the way it works, okay? So something's either true or not true. There's no middle ground. Now, that's very important because the Bible goes by this as well. You can't even communicate right without these. In fact, you've probably done it before with your spouse and it doesn't go well. I told you to go get, no, you didn't. That would be A. It's not equal to non-A. Yeah, there you go. So, now can you use these to evaluate the truth? Well, you can't find a lot of truth with these, but you can see if something is true. You can test it, okay? You can even use these in theology, and here's the good news. God never contradicts himself. Never. God doesn't do that. There's no A and then non-A with God. When he says, if you believe on Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, thou shalt be saved, that's what it means, and it will never mean anything different. It won't change. You won't get to heaven and say, well, I didn't really mean that. You know, things can mean either way. No. Isn't that great to know that? When you read God's word and you're getting something that seems to contradict something else in God's word, guess what? You're wrong. You need to go back and find out. Evidently, you're misunderstanding something because God does not contradict himself. And that's some really good news for us. Here's some verses. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. See, evil would be the non-A, the non-good. All right? He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. Notice he's very different in this whole thing. Okay? This is the message which ye have heard of him, God, and declare unto you that God is light, in him is no darkness. Notice that difference, the A and non-A. And see, this is what people try to do. Well, you know, I love the Lord and do all this, but they're not living like that. You can't have the A and the non-A at the same time. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And notice what he said, do not the truth. Yeah, so, and notice what Jesus said in John 3:18. I know people know the verse before that, a couple of verses, but he said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Here's this thing again. Once again, A is condemned. The non-A would be not condemned. It's either one or the other, Jesus says. People want a middle ground. There's no middle ground. He says this, look, you've believed on me and you're saved. If not, at this moment, you are condemned. There's no third option. There's no middle ground. There's no get to heaven. Well, I know I didn't accept Jesus, but I still shouldn't say no. There's only believe and you're saved. You don't, you're not. There's no middle ground. That's the way it is. Why? Because God speaks truth. Okay, now let's do some bad philosophy, and this part will be fun. Okay, I think. All right, let's look at some of these things, all right, and just apply what we know. I heard this when I was in college in my first go-around. My first go-around was more of a scenic tour, and I took the wrong exit at the end. It was just kind of, anyway, that's the way it went. Yeah. I squeezed almost a four-year degree into 10 years, so it was pretty awesome. But anyway, while I was there, one of my classes, I heard somebody make this statement, and I didn't know what to say about it at the time. There is no absolute truth. Well, let's just apply what we know, okay? The law of non-contradiction, let's apply that. There is no absolute truth, but is that absolutely true? Oops. See, you can't have both. You can't say there's no absolute truth and yet that be true. No, sorry. And you know what? That doesn't match the Bible either. No surprise. All truth is God's truth. All right? All religions are equally true. Really? Okay, well, let's just test it for the same thing. All right, let's do the same thing. Christianity says that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, rose again. Judaism says he died on the cross but didn't rise again. Islam said he didn't die on the cross, it was Judas or somebody, and so he didn't rise again. Those are the three major religions of this world. They don't agree, and those are major points. How can they all be equally true? No, they're not. No, they're wrong. There's one of those that's right. And what they're saying can't all be right. I know our world likes it that way, but it's not true. It's just bad philosophy even. Not just bad theology, it's bad philosophy. There are many ways to God. Look, there are Christians that say this today. I have read some of their stuff. There are. Do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said this. Let's just apply it again. Jesus saying to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, goes to heaven, but by me. That can't be true, and there are many ways to God. No. Jesus made that very exclusive. He said, I'm the only way. Any other way is the wrong way. Just me. There are not many ways to God. There is only one. Well, what is truth? Truth is what corresponds to reality. It corresponds to what's true. In other words, if I say, if it's raining and I say it's raining, I've spoken truth. If it's raining outside and I tell you it's not, have I spoken truth? No. The Bible is true. This is what Christians got to get. We got to remember. That means anything that goes against it is not true. I don't care if it's popular. I don't care who's saying it. If it goes against the truth of God's word, it does not correspond to reality. And it is not true. Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In Romans 3:3-4, it says, for what if some did not believe, the Jews, if they did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Or should it mess up the plans of God? God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. It doesn't matter if God stands alone, he's true, and if you stand against him, you are not. That's the way it is. Titus says this, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. God doesn't lie. His word is truth. That's why Jesus said, thy word is truth. And once again, those Romans verses are there again. And once again, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it. It is true. So here's an incorrect definition. Whatever I intend is true. Have you ever meant well and it didn't turn out that way? Before we had Google Maps and all that stuff, did you ever plan to go somewhere and not end up there? Yeah, that happens a lot, okay? Maybe not so much now, but still, even then that thing sometimes says take a slight right, and I don't know what that means when sometimes it's a lot different. But you end up at the wrong place. You intend to be somewhere, but my intentions don't make something true, okay? Also very popular today in our day of tolerance and welcomeness is truth is what I want it to be. Doesn't that sound nice? I should wear flowers when I say that. Truth is what I want it to be. Or truth is whatever you truly believe. Okay, I want to be a star NBA player. Why are you guys laughing? Because you know that's not true. I mean, it's the way it is. I took many a test in school, and maybe your kids have too, where they intended or believed they could make 100. And it didn't happen. Yeah. That's because that does not determine truth. Paul wrote this, and he was speaking of it. He loved the Jewish people, but he didn't lie to them. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Well, good, then they will be, right? For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. What is he saying? He's saying they have a passion, a want-to, a belief, but the truth is over here. They don't have the truth. They're not believing the truth. It doesn't matter how much they believe, how passionate they are, what their intentions are. If they're not believing the right thing, they're wrong. Okay, and that's what Paul wanted them to know. Truth is then objective. Objective, people like, what's objective and subjective? Subjective is what you do when you eat ice cream. So the ice cream doesn't taste good until what? It touches my tongue. Now, you may eat some weird kind of ice cream that nobody else likes. And you would say it's good, and they would say it's bad. Okay, and it's all because it's an interaction between you and the ice cream. Okay, it's a taste thing. Truth is not really like that. It's objective. That means it's true outside of me. It was true before I was born. It's true now. And when I die, it'll still be true. That's the way God's word is. Okay, it is objectively true. It doesn't matter what I think about it, feel about it, believe it or not, it's still true. It's objective. Okay, and that's why Paul said after those verses, he said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, do it their own way. See, it's subjective. No, it's not. It's objective truth. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness, the true righteousness of God. What they're doing is not true. It doesn't matter how much they believe it, how much passion they have. It doesn't matter. What God says is true. And that's what they need to find. And so that's what Paul wanted. So let's go through this and look at what we've studied tonight. God's word, philosophy and truth. Number one, God's word is our ultimate source of truth. It's not one of, no, it's the ultimate which means if God's word says it, nothing else trumps it. That's the way it is. If God's word says something wrong is wrong, it's wrong. It doesn't matter what anybody or anything else says. It's wrong. If God's word says something is true, it's true. And that's the way it is. It's our ultimate source of truth. Now, there is truth learned outside of God's word, as we've mentioned, in general revelation. But if it's really true, it will never contradict God's word. So we can test things. And we can look and see things out in science or whatever. And if your child gets a textbook and it's got a lot of good things in there, but all of a sudden says something that goes against God's word, that part, I don't care who endorsed it, that part is wrong. Why? Because it goes against the ultimate source of truth. Okay? Whatever is actually true will never contradict itself. So there's no contradictions in truth. There's none of this wacky stuff that, like, well, that's true for you, but not for me. No, no, no. It's just, it's either true or not. That's the way it is. You hear a lot of this stuff in college. Just go to college and hang around for a while. You'll hear a bunch of this stuff. And it doesn't contradict other things that are actually true. We're all in one universe here, okay? There's not different rules over here and different ones. No, it's all the same universe. God made it all. And so the truth is not going to conflict with each other. Oh, but this is science and that's the Bible. I don't care. If it's true in the Bible, science will agree. That's the way it is, okay? There's not going to be a disagreement. There may be scientists that disagree. They're wrong, okay? They're just wrong, all right? What is true regardless of what I think or feel about it or whether I agree with it or not. That's the deal. And God's word is always true, all right? And that's why it's so good to go to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. When you read all that, it's like, breath of fresh air. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways, what that means is in every area of life. Not just what you consider spiritual, which is really all of it, but every area of life. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, there's the blind men and the elephant illustration. So we've done all this, and this is kind of your test today. We're going to go through this and have some fun. Because this is given many times as a Hindu or New Age or whatever way to deal with what we've talked about tonight. See, there were some blind men. I don't know if the story goes, there's 3, 4, or 5. It really doesn't matter. And so there's an elephant. And so they go and feel, they're blind, they feel the different parts of the elephant. And one feels his leg, and so they believe it's a tree. One feels his tail and thinks it's a rope. One feels his ear and thinks that it's a fan. And so this is used to show that really that's the way we are. And really we're all just going down the same road and stuff. It's just we see it in different ways, which is really weird because they're blind. But anyway, that's what they're saying. Now that sounds all good, but I've got some things to note. You did tell us it's an elephant. You didn't tell us it's a stump, a fan, or rope. It is an elephant in the story, right? Yes. Okay. It's not what the blind men are saying. Correct? Yes. We admitted they are blind, so they're not seeing correctly about this elephant that you and I know is there. Okay. We can also see they are wrong. So the truth is it's an elephant. I don't know what's so hard about this illustration and why it's so effective. It's an elephant. Those guys just don't know any better. Here's the deal. Wouldn't it be best to just listen to the person who perfectly sees and knows that in the first place? Wouldn't it? Sanctify them through thy truth, God's truth. Thy word is truth. Therefore, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Will that give you a philosophy to stand by? Yeah. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Yeah. So once again, God's word is our ultimate source of truth. There is truth that's learned outside of it. You learn that in school and other places, but it will never, if it's really true, contradict God's word. Whatever is actually true will never contradict itself, or other things that are true. And what is true is true, God's word especially, regardless of what I think or feel about it, or whether I agree with it or not. And so that's just a view of philosophy, I think a biblical Christian view of philosophy today. Don't be scared of philosophy, just test it. If it goes against God's word, it's wrong. But there are Christian philosophers out there that are saying some really neat things. And those guys, when they agree with God's word, they're right. You may not like to read them, but they're right. The question is, everybody has a philosophy. Everybody does. Everybody's thinking critical about different questions in their life. The question is if you're basing your philosophy on the right thing. That's the question. So.